My first meal in Beijing is roasted duck, or kaoya, as it's called in Chinese. Glossy and brown, with crisp skin and meltingly moist flesh, the bird is cut into over 100 pieces, in the traditional way. We silently fill our pancakes, dipping meat and skin into the dark, salty, sweet sauce, adding slivers of scallion and cucumber, and rolling the packages up like cigars. I arrived in Beijing only 2 hours ago, and my head feels pinched with tiredness and jet lag. But I eat until my fingers are greasy and my jeans feel snug. When the pancakes run out, I eat the duck alone, dipping morsels of skin into the brown sauce, relishing the crisp richness. My sister, Claire, watches me from across the table. We haven't seen each other in almost 2 years, yet the sly arch of her eyebrows is still familiar. "It's delicious," I say, smiling to hide my nervousness. "Almost as good as Mom's." "Mom's is better," she replies, but I see her hands falter as she lights a cigarette. I try not to stare at the unfamiliar purse of her mouth as she exhales a plume of smoke. The cigarettes are a new accessory. But then again, everything seems a little different about my sister. I devour almost the whole duck, savoring its familiar, gamey flavor, so evocative of the scraps I used to scrounge from my mother's cutting board. The other dishes are stranger, and after one taste, I ignore the cubes of tofu that drift within a deep puddle of bright red oil, and the plate of stir-fried mutton that releases an unwashed whiff. Around me, voices warble incomprehensibly in Chinese. Faces grow rosy from beer. My sister, ever vigilant of her waistline, coolly smokes a string of cigarettes and watches me eat. "Aren't you hungry?" I ask. "I had a huge lunch." She slides her plate away. "How's your jet lag? You should take a melatonin before you go to bed tonight. Or I have some Ambien if you're really desperate. They say that's what all the flight attendants take between shifts." She flits from topic to topic, like she's trying to avoid something. "I'm pretty sleepy." I swallow a yawn. "But thanks again for letting me stay with you," I say, feeling shy under her gaze. "It's great to have you here, May." She uses the Chinese word for younger sister, something we never did as children. After dinner, we stroll among the narrow tangle of hutong alleys that make up old Beijing. The warm summer evening feels festive. Families sit outside, trying to escape the close heat of their tiny, traditional courtyard homes. Men, their pants rolled to the knees, t-shirts pushed high to expose solid bellies, smoke cigarettes and turn to stare balefully at Claire's tall and sleek figure. Bicycles whiz perilously close to pedestrians, and everywhere the air is heavy with odors. Garlic, grease, and other grubbier smells. We wind our way through the slender alleyways, and suddenly the quaint village atmosphere disappears, choked off by a vast avenue that teems with bicyclists and honking cars. Claire stops abruptly. "I'm supposed to meet some friends," she says. "But if you're too tired," her voice trails off. "I'm exhausted, but don't worry about me. I can find my way back to your apartment." "It's your first night," she says distantly, before hailing me a cab. As I climb in, she leans over me to give the driver directions, kisses my cheek, and closes the door. "See you tomorrow, Iz. Sleep well." As the cab speeds away, I see her chatting and laughing on her cell phone, her whole face alight with animation. I remember those abrupt mood swings from my childhood, along with something else. Claire has always hated Peking duck. Why did I move to China? I still don't know. But if I think back, I guess it all started one Friday night. The kind of New York winter evening that features seeping cold and flesh-freezing winds. As I sat at the kitchen table of my friends Julia and Andrew, sipping Prosecco and watching the sky turn to a deep, hopeful blue. I couldn't help but wonder if I could blame the biting winds for freezing my life. "I think I'm having a quarter-life crisis," I announced, and pushed a bowl of pistachio nuts across the kitchen table. "I think you're a little old for a quarter-life crisis, Iz, unless you're planning on living to 120, said Julia gently. As my best friend, only she was allowed to comment on my approaching advancement into my 30s.